All right, you're there in your Bibles, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse and chapter 11. We'll get there in just a minute. Wanted to mention a couple of things that are out in the back table. We have a table right out and to your left. And first of all, there's some free things there. All right, free. If you're Baptist and you just heard that word, you just woke up. All right, and you're like, free. All right, and so there's candy, there's chocolate, different things like that, maybe some pens. And there may not be a lot of free candy once everybody heads out, but you can take advantage. On a seminary table, that's how we get people to go by. You're like, who in the world cares about a seminary? Candy. Free candy. All right, so remember that. But we also have, we try to carry some books on some topics that maybe might be a help to you. Brother Dalton, I think I am Brother Dalton's best bookseller. All right, just so you know, I think I'm always, in fact, I'm taking some back with me. So when I'm on the road, I try to carry his books. And I try to tell people that we need to know his one book on religious liberty. It's The Struggle for Liberty. It's about the time, the Baptist involved during the time of the American Revolution. If you don't know that story, grab his book. You're like, he wrote a book? Yes, get to know somebody in your church, will you? Come on. All right, he's been sitting here the whole time, so get his book. So buy his book, and there's other books there. I have a few books. I always tell, I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and so that's why I twitch once in a while. But I wrote a book entitled Every Day is a Tough Day. And the reason is that's my answer to Joel Osteen, where every day is a Friday, because as I live, I'm like, for real? Every day's a Monday. All right, I would agree with that book, but every day is a tough day because there would sometimes a young person would come in, they're talking to me, and when this is going to get over, I'm sorry to depress you, but you are going to live in your flesh the rest of your life until you get to heaven, and it's just sometimes it's a tough battle. I'm in my 50s. I know I don't look at like it. I look like I'm still in my 20s, even in my 50s, it's still a tough day. There's just tough days. So that's in the back. Then with the topic we're covering tomorrow on dispensationalism, another man that works with me a lot, is a good friend, is Dave Sorensen. He's wrote a lot in the King James, but last year he put a book out, When He Shall Come, and this deals with basically independent Baptist, what we have believed for decades and centuries, and actually I believe you can go back to the Pauline epistles. And that's where we get our belief, and that is our belief of end times. And so we do believe in a rapture. There are people that don't believe it now, and there are some independent Baptists that have come up with what are known as the mid-trib, or now what's popular as a pre-wrath. So he has some chapters in it that deal with where did that come from, and why is that not right? And so that's a good book. We only have a couple of them, but you can snap a picture and you can just buy one. I think it's published by the Sword of the Lord, so you can get it there. So there's a couple things there. We also have a prayer card. We'd love for you to just pray for us as we travel. We're building a seminary, and it's why I am preaching the message. I would say that the thing that God has taught me in the last couple years is faith. It's just faith. It's been one of the hardest things. I would say if you want to be depressed and be discouraged, pastors will ask me, hey, you know, I'm feeling down. I say, hey, you know what? Quit your job and start a seminary. It'll get worse. All right, it'll get worse. But God has taught me just a lot in the area of faith. You know, if God asks you to do something, you can trust him. You can trust him. We also have free bookmarks. And for ladies, if you're into podcast, my wife does a podcast 5 days a week. And so there's a QR code on the back of that, and you can snap that. I also do a podcast that's released weekly. So those are things that I think could be a help to you. So we're going to look at the idea of faith. We did have a handout. If you didn't get it, then hopefully you can steal one. Oh, you did get it. All right, good job. All right, but if you didn't get it, hopefully you could just pay attention, and if there's someone near you, when they look the other way, just steal theirs, all right? But we're going to be looking at the idea of faith. Many years ago, a man by the name of William Cooper, it looks like Cowper, but William Cooper, wrote this poem. It was entitled, God Moves, and mysterious ways. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep and unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. You know, you can trust God. We may not understand everything. You know, our nation, if you look back at the start of our nation and you go back even to our Baptist movement in America, and you could go back further as far as the heritage that we have as being Baptists, it was founded on people willing to step out and take great personal risk. For a long time, people weighed risk daily because it was just simply a part of life. And so we need to consider this evening, faith. You know, we sing songs about faith. This morning, we sang, faith is the victory. But what does that mean? We sing, great is thy faithfulness. We talk about living by faith. It's one of my favorite songs, living by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, sunshine or shadow or rain. My Lord, I know, ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. But what is faith? You know, in the Bible, you can find over 230 times that the word faith is used. It's primarily a New Testament word. It's not saying that the Old Testament wasn't about faith. How do we know that? I actually just got in a discussion just last Sunday with a few men after an evening service, and they were talking about this, and they were saying that basically the Old Testament didn't have a lot of faith. They said, have you ever read Hebrews 11? They're like, well, that is a different type of faith. I said, can you show me that in Hebrews 11 where it says it was a different type of faith? I said, actually, we quote all the time in that context, Hebrews 11, 6, that it's without faith, you can't please God. I'm pretty sure Abraham and Moses and all those guys had a faith that pleased God. That's why context is really important. And then in the verses we read, remember in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10:38. Did you notice it said a famous phrase, the just shall live by faith? If you don't know the story about that, there is a man that kind of became famous for that. It was Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther was a Catholic. And so if you study the history of it, as far as Martin Luther, I don't think it was an honor, but Martin Luther was basically a priest. He was in ministry, and so they assigned him to a town way out in the boonies, right? And they wanted him to teach in that town. And you would think if you were assigned to teach, oh, what an honor! You'd probably want like the life of Christ. You'd study in that on Wednesday. What an honor! But they told him, you know what, we're going to move you. So he was in a prominent place. They moved him to this out little town, and they moved him there and said, you're going to teach. And you know what, we got a great study for you. We want you to study the book of Habakkuk. Now, most of us would say, I don't even know where that's at. All right, so I don't think it was like, I think they were trying to get him out of the way. But Martin Luther fell upon Hebrews, and it's there, I think, on your handout. He got to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, and that is where the first time that the phrase, the just shall live by faith. Now, you may not know this, but that is found three times in the New Testament. It's found in the book of Romans, and I believe Myself, as I've studied it, I believe it's talking about the word just because of the context of the book of Romans. And so it's right there in the book of Romans explaining what does it mean, the just. Because actually, in the book of Romans, the most times that the word justified is found in the book of Romans. Then in Galatians, it's found, the just, and I believe that is the emphasis of living. The just shall live. And then in Hebrews 10 and verse 38, notice what it says, the just shall live by faith, and what follows right after that? A whole chapter that basically defines for us faith and then describes for us how to live by faith. And so this evening, I would like us to consider what Martin Luther found out. There he was, kind of almost as an outcast in the Roman Catholic system, and told that, and now you're going to teach the book of Habakkuk, and God used it in his life for him to find, and some debate this, saving faith. He found faith because he found that through Scripture, the just need to live by faith. This evening, I would like us to consider faith then. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless, give us wisdom, guidance as we look at this concept of faith. Lord, I always ask for you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So in your outline, we have 4 points. All right, if we're clogging up a little bit, we'll move a little faster, okay? So point number one is the definition of faith. So you, when you're going to something, there's different ways to study the Bible. You can study it by a book. All right, and that's a great thing. There became a great movement about 20 years ago to be expository preachers. And I'm not against expository preaching, but actually, if you study doctrine, you kind of can't do that with expository preaching. You need to take the whole Bible, which doctrinal studies are just hard. All right, but then there's word studies that you can do. For instance, faith. So when you're studying a word, you need to define it. And so we need to define it biblically. So R.A. Torrey has a book entitled What the Bible Teaches. So I know it's Sunday night, but you should have gotten your Sunday afternoon nap. All right? But some of you are heading to another one real fast here. All right? So What the Bible Teaches, this is what he says about faith. To believe God is to rely upon or have an unhesitating assurance of the truth of God's testimony, even though it is unsupported by any other evidence, and to rely upon and have an unfaltering assurance of the fulfillment of his promises, even though everything seems against fulfillment. All right, a lot of words there, but I think that's a pretty good assessment of what faith is. So if you're an independent Baptist, you always go to Webster's 1828 dictionary to find out a definition. So what does Webster's 1828 say about faith? This is what he says. In theology, it is the assent of the mind or understanding of the truth of what God has revealed. All right, get that? The assent of the mind or understanding of the truth of what God has revealed. So then we find a Bible definition. So what does the Bible say faith is? We have it right here, Hebrews 11:1. What is the definition of faith? Now, faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, you would say, now, wait a minute. So faith is the substance. Some of that is a little wordy, isn't it? So look at Hebrews chapter 3. We're in the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 3, I believe the writer of Hebrews was prepping the readers for later in the context. Because in Hebrews chapter 3, remember when you're studying words, that's called etymology. And so the study of the word here, notice the word substance is found in chapter 3 and verse 14. See if you can find it. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You'd say, wait a minute, the word substance isn't in there. It is. It's just a different, you know how you have synonyms? All right, if you ever have written a paper or if you're learning to be a preacher, especially if you're going to Bible college, there's certain teachers that love everything alliterated. That's when I learned to use a thesaurus. I'm not big, you know, tonight I have everything starting with D, but there are sometimes I couldn't think of anything alliterated. All right, and so I just preached it, and they're like, whoa, you didn't alliterate that. So that's what a thesaurus is. And then some guy gets up there, and I've always said, if you have to explain your alliteration, you've probably lost them, all right? But you go to a thesaurus, and that helps you understand other words. So guess what? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 3, verse 14. Guess what the word substance is in Hebrews 3, 14? Confidence. It's confidence. So faith is a confidence. It's an evidence, things not seen. Albert Barnes says this in his commentary. He says, in like manner, the Christian believes what God says. He's never seen heaven. He's never seen an angel. He's never seen the Redeemer. He's never seen a body raised from the grave. But he has evidence which is satisfactory to his mind that God has spoken on these subjects, and his very nature prompts him to confide in the declarations that God said it, so it is. It's faith. So then, I always tell students when they're studying, then you also, what helps you is to make your own definition. So this is the Dameron definition of faith. Here it is. Faith is that spiritual muscle exercised when we believe God's word and act upon it no matter what our flesh, circumstances, or others say. And you'd say, well, why did you call it a spiritual muscle? Because the Bible says that we should exercise our faith. We all know that if you've done any working out, you know that a muscle has to have some resistance, doesn't it, to grow. You'd be like, really? Is that for real? Yeah, it has to have a little bit of resistance. So faith is a muscle that needs exercised. So that is the definition of faith. So let's go to number two. So what is the dependence of our faith? What's the dependence of our faith then? Faith alone, just so you know, is useless. Faith alone by itself is useless. Faith is essential. It's essential that faith is tied to the correct item. All right, so faith is not in ourselves. Isn't that kind of popular now? Believe in yourself. Well, I actually believe you're an idiot. All right, so I think I believe that. All right, you'd say, wait a minute. Believe in yourself. I don't understand that. No, see, faith has to be tied to something. It links us. So my faith is tied, though, to an omnipotent God. That's what I link it to. One person wrote this. Now, listen to this statement. Again, it's another deep thought here. All right? So hang on to it. A strong faith in the wrong object achieves very little. That's actually happened in my life. I'm like, I believe. And I believe this is going to happen. Or I believe. But it actually, I come to the end and it was just me. It's just my thoughts. And it ended up being empty. So listen to another statement that this person made. They said, but a weak faith in the proper object can accomplish great things. Is that biblically backed up? Yes. Remember Christ said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, this is what I could tell you. Sometimes, and I can tell you over the last couple years, my faith might have been a mustard seed. Maybe. But I've seen God do some things that I just can't believe sometimes. He just amazes me. You know, we really have an amazing, omnipotent God. And I think that sometimes We're trying it. I have faith in me. You know, God wants me. Sometimes we live off of cliches, and there's these neat cliches that you find. You know, for instance, this is always my funny one. You know, I want to dress up. Maybe you're here and you're like, I want to dress up my house and I want to show people that, you know, we have faith. And so you go to Hobby Lobby, of course, because it's Christian. I mean, they play Christian music. I mean, it's just, you go to Hobby Lobby. And so you go there and you're like, hey, I want to find something. You find that thing that you like scrape on the wall or whatever you paste on the wall. And it's like, believe. You're like, yeah, see? But believe in what? Believe in me? I believe in food? I believe in what? All right, so the Bible says, though, that I need to have faith in God. That's what's really important. My dependence is upon God. I remember a few years ago when I was pastoring, I was going through a really rough spell, and it just seemed like, all right, where is God at? I remember spending some time with the Lord, and he said, you know, I am able. And God just, that struck me, and I thought, well, I want to study that. And so I went through the Bible, and this is what was interesting to me. Do you know the book of the Bible that the word able is found the most? I did not know this. The book of Daniel. And guess what? That book shows that God is able, doesn't it? Shows that God is able to deliver him from a lion's den. It showed that God was able to rescue three Hebrew children. It showed that God was able to help a young man that was taken basically captive from his homeland. And yet he was able to live prosperously and basically be lifted up because his faith was not in himself. It was in a God that was able. So we saw the definition of faith, the dependence of our faith. So let's go then to number three. So how is our faith developed? And this is the one I don't like. I'm like, all right, because remember, faith is a muscle, so it has to be exercised. So how does God, and we're talking really living by faith. We're talking as Christians here tonight. So we're talking, how does my faith grow? Well, we're there in Hebrews. Just flip over to another book in James chapter 1. This is the first way that our faith grows. There's other ways, but we're just going to look at two quickly this evening. James chapter 1, look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of what? Your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So guess how my faith is exercised? Faith is built by trials. Oh, wait, all right, that, you know, I was with you. I was there. I like live by faith and trials. You know, God will put you through some really hard times. It goes against really not just what has kind of taken off in America in the last 20 years, but around the world, it's known as the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel basically tells you that every day is a Friday. And I'd understand that if I have my $18 million home and three, you know, Lear jets. Okay, I'm like, yeah, every day is a Friday, dude. All right. But guess what I've found? The prosperity gospel ruins people. Because then what happens, and I've seen Christians, a problem comes into their life. And it could be cancer. It could be a death. It could be something that's it's really tragic. And guess what? As a Christian, first, why God? Because guess what he's doing? He wants to build your faith. Does God still love me? Oh, yes. There's no way for us. Remember, in even Romans, and there's other places in the New Testament that it talks that we can't even We can't even measure. We can't even understand how that God's love, it's so broad and it's so deep and it's so massive. That's the love that God has for us. And yet, you know, all of us, we question it sometimes. Oh, I do. Hey, God, you know, my bank account's empty. Where are you at? As though, basically, if I'm doing everything right, every morning at 8 a.m., you know, my bank account gets hit with like $100,000. No. You know, sometimes it's just hard. It just seems like, man, God, I'm trying to work hard. I'm trying to do this, but this happened and this happened and this happened. All right, just coming down here. I was this venture of our life, okay? I kind of had a set job. I was an assistant, and then I was a pastor, and then God said, hey, why don't you launch out and start a seminary? I'm like, yeah, well, I kind of have a job. I'd like to do that. And God was like, no, go do this. I'm like, okay, try to do that, okay? And I've always, my wife and I have always been very frugal. We're very good with money. We know how to handle it. But sometimes it's just not there. But I was coming down, and I had a couple. We were in Fort Lauderdale area last week, and we flew a professor in. We were doing some teaching on the King James, and then there's a guy that worked for me, and he pastors in LaBelle. And I thought, you know what? I want to go over there and just spend a couple days with him. I was on the phone with him, and guess what? As a pastor, he's had a little rough spell. I thought, man, I want to go, and I want to take him out, and I want to take his kids out. And I get, you know, I told my wife that, and she's like, you know, money. So guess what? Last Sunday night, I'm at a church on Sunday night. We're flying out on Monday, and I knew the pastor, and he said, I told him, hey, I'll just come by sometime, and I'm getting to know him. And so I wasn't speaking. And so he had me come up and just present the seminary, and then I was going to head off to the hotel. A couple guys came up to me, and we were talking about theology and all that. And some guy reached over, and he said, hey, thanks for being here. And when it was that sweet handshake. Have you ever had that sweet handshake? And you come away, and you're like, ooh, I'm feeling something there. I'm feeling it. All right, and I thought, wow, I don't even know these guys. And he just walked away. I'm driving home. And I'm like, all right, Becky, and I'm doing that thing that really makes her mad. I'm driving and counting, all right, not looking at anything. And guess what? The money that the guy gave me paid for me to take them out. You know, God's awesome. That's what he could do. And you know, God cares about all of those things all the time. And I think sometimes we forget about that. And sometimes hard things, that can come in finances. That can come in an accident. It can come in some way. It's something that comes into your life. And guess what God's trying to do? He's trying to expand your faith. Faith, the development of our faith, first of all, it's through trials. Secondly, notice we're there in James. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. This is another way as a Christian. I'm not talking about not as a Christian. I'm talking about as a Christian here. I say the Bible tells us in Corinthians, we live by what? Faith, not by sight. That's what the Bible instructs us to do. So when I'm developing my faith, when God sends something that's a little bit hard, I need to trust him. But also, the Bible tells me in 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 4, we realize it's written to believers, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Just so you know, when you partake of the divine nature, you're saved. So he tells them in verse 5, and besides this, believers, giving all diligence, what should I do? Build my faith, add to my faith. You know, it's our job to work at building our faith. You're giving a list of seven things here that to work on. Listen to what it says. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. What? Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Notice what he says in verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. I've always loved studying. All right, I grew up, I was meeting a guy that, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, under Roy Thompson. And in the school, one thing, Roy Thompson was just a man of faith, and he's taught me that. He handed that to me as a heritage. But then I had some teachers in high school that just loved the Bible. And they put a desire in me to study. And I started studying the Bible basically in about 11th grade. I remember I had a study hall, and one of the teachers gave me my first concordance. And he would say, hey, why don't you study this? Why don't you study this? And it started me down that path. And now, over 30 years later, I still get the privilege of basically studying and preparing things for people now. It's an awesome thing. But this is what amazes me. You know, when it says you add to your faith knowledge, I'm here, I'm looking at things and studying. There are things and doctrines, even now, after all these years, decades of studying the Bible, I look at it and say, wow, I haven't really thought about that. All of us, every day, every week, add to your faith. It's building. It's growing my faith. Most people look at, you know, physical health, and they understand the work that it may take. Maybe it's restricting something. Man, I'm getting a little pudgy. All right, so I guess I can't have. I was just at the doctor's, and they're saying, hey, you know, this and this, you need to watch this, and you need to watch that. I'm like, what? I thought I could just do whatever I want. That's what a lot of us want to do. But guess what? We understand that. If I want physically, I've got to do some of those things. You don't think that's what it takes spiritually to grow? It does. You got to live by faith. It's the development of our faith. So faith is built by trials, and then faith is built by me adding to it. So work at your faith. So then the fourth one, the last point. So how do I display my faith? I see three areas. One, first of all, and maybe you're here and you're not saved, you need to learn to be justified by faith. That's found in Romans 3. Remember we said that the word justification is there, and the idea is that my believing in God. So how do I believe in God? And there's debate on all of the belief there. But I believe that what happens is I come to God, and there's an idea of repentance, there's a turning. So there's a turning away from what I think about myself. All right, now, all sitting here, if you're saved, you came to a point that you understood something about yourself, and that is that within you there's no good thing. Now, I still think I'm pretty good. All right. But every once in a while, guess what God has to show you? No, you're not. You're not that good. Because why? The heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. And so in the area of salvation, have you met somebody? And actually, I've talked to some people, and they're really nice people. They do a lot of good things, but as you're talking to them, they're not saved. They're resting on that, and it's kind of hard to get them to the point. Sometimes we've said this in soul winning, you got to get someone lost before they can get saved. So we are justified. So one way we display our faith is we need to become justified by faith. Secondly, we need to live out our faith to others. James chapter 1 tells us this. Remember in James chapter 1? James chapter 1 and James chapter 2. James chapter 1 and verse 22 tells us this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What's interesting, remember I was talking about Martin Luther at the beginning, and he learned about the just shall live by faith. When he came to the book of James, he thought that the book of James should be tossed out of the canon of Scripture. Part of it is he misunderstood that Romans was written to help us understand how to be justified by faith as a Christian, or to be saved. The book of James is written to believers saying that now you're saved, make your faith work. Act upon it. Look at James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You know, I've met some Christians, man, their faith is really lonely. I'm like, your faith needs a friend. All right, why? Because it's sitting there all by, it needs worked, exercised. Faith, how do we display our faith? We should become justified by faith. We should live out our faith to others. All right, there was a movement many years ago, basically the lifestyle evangelism. All right, and it was basically telling us that we don't have to spread the word of God, which kind of goes against the word of God. It tells us to go ye into all the world. But, you know, there was some truth to that, because the Bible does say that we should live out our faith. Actually, you need to do both. So live it out. Have you ever met somebody that says, I ain't going to that church, it's a bunch of hypocrites. All right, and you've heard all the comebacks. You know, well, you don't want to show up because then you're gonna make it worse. All right, so guess what? Yes, there's hypocrites that come to church. I would agree. All right, you're here. All right, no, there's hypocrites that come to church. Because part of it is we're still sinners. We're still sinners. That doesn't mean you don't go to church. It's a misunderstanding of that. But, you know, it's sad that you do meet some Christians and they really don't act like Christ. And what does that do? It hurts the cause of Christ. So we should live out our faith. But then, in Romans chapter 10, there's a big passage that talks about confessing. You know, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it talks about somebody trusting in the Lord. But then in the context, it says, but how shall they hear without what? A preacher. And you say, oh, that excludes me. Well, you got to look at the context there. The preacher there is basically anybody that's saved. So how do I display my faith? I become justified by faith myself. Then I live out my faith to others. But then it doesn't stop there. You need to share your faith. So guess what you need to do? All right? All right? I just emptied it out. Okay? But on your way out, grab some tracks. You know, I love where I'm at in Dover. I'll go to hand some tracks or whatever, and they're like, yeah, seen that. Awesome. They should see it over and over. Hand a track out. Talk to somebody. Yesterday morning, I was able to work with that church in LaBelle, and we were doing packets, handing out. And he said, you know what? There's not many of us, but we can hang packets on doors. So I said, well, you know what? I don't have to be there for a little bit. We can hang out packets. But, you know, I don't mind hanging out packets, but I like talking to people about the Lord. And this guy came out, and he's like, you got a Spanish service? And I said, no, they don't have a Spanish service, but I tell you what. He said, what type of church? I said, Baptist. He said, well, I'm from Cuba. All right, that's the way. I'm from Cuba. And guess, he said, I was saved as a Baptist. I said, tell me how. He said, I want to know. You know what? He was saved. I said, you need to come out to church. I said, they will help you. They will help you. A couple of weeks ago, I was back just doing a follow-up there in Dover, Delaware. They handed me a card, and I said, you know, you're doing follow-up visits. I'm like, all right, I'll go. I'll do that. I walked up to the door, and God just kind of prodded me. The guy came out, and I said, hey, so, you know, you came out last week to church. the pastor preached about salvation. Do you understand that? He's like, no, well, some. I said, do you have time for me to just take the Bible and show you through the Bible how God can save you? He's like, yeah, I fell over. All right, he picked me up. All right, I walked in, sat at the dining room table, and he got saved that day. You know, that's what we should be doing. Sharing that good news, sharing that faith. This faith that is tied to an omnipotent God. And through that faith, guess what God has given me? I don't deserve it. But he extends saving grace that we heard about, that grace. He extends that to me. And I'm able to experience down the road heaven forever because of saving faith. But then God wants us here on this earth to experience, you know, living by faith. And what does that mean? It's all in that text. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11? All in that text, guess what it is showing us? It's showing us people that lived by faith. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. And let's go to chapter 12. So we started in chapter 10. We saw the just shall live by faith. We saw it defined. And you can take challenges, study those people that lived by faith all through Hebrews chapter 11. But then notice in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do I do this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? My faith. You have a race. It's here on this earth. And you can succeed in it if you look to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Many years ago, there was a lady. She was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Upon graduation, she became a teacher. She suffered a severe spinal problem. She was an invalid for the remainder of her life. She was never able to do that which she wanted to do, and that is to teach. She found, though, that she was a little bit gifted in hymn writing, so she contributed to Sunday school publications. And at about 40 years old, she wrote a song. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. My heart is leaning on the word, the living word of God, salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Are you living by faith? Faith is a little bit different than just talking about it. We need to practice it. May God help us to learn what faith is. Not just faith in ourselves, but faith in God and his word. And may we practice it, and may others around us see it, and may we be able to share it so that others can find this wonderful faith that we have. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the invitation time. I thank you for just an opportunity to look at Scripture. I pray that you would help it to grow our faith, make us stronger because of being here this evening, so that we can go and truly be a people that live by faith. Bless the invitation time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.